Second reading comes from the opening chapter of Mark's Gospel as Jesus begins his ministry. Listen to this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. My friend Kathy worked with me at Village. She was our Andrea Denny at that church. And one day she asked me, she said, "Tom, what is that on your bookshelf?" I said, "Kathy, you should know what that is. It's a clock." She said, "Well, I know that, but it doesn't work. I have met with you every week for 2 years, and every time I look at that clock, it reads the same time. It never changes. Why do you have a broken clock on yourself?" I said, "Well, Kathy, I'll tell you sometime, and I will tell you too, but not yet." Jesus began his ministry with these words, "The kingdom of God has drawn near." His entire ministry was about that, the way, the life, what he called the kingdom of God. Here we sometimes refer to it as God's promised day. So when you think of that, when you muster up the hope to believe it's out there, what do you think it's like? Maybe like Amos, you think of it as a day when justice will roll down like waters because we finally prefer to be fair than to be privileged. Maybe like Isaiah, you imagine it with swords being beaten into plowshares because it finally makes more sense for us to feed one another than to kill one another. Or maybe like Mary, you imagine the hungry being filled with good things and the haughty being right-sized in their britches. Or maybe you think of simpler things, like older wounds being healed, or rest, or peace, and being able to lay down the burdens of the day. Jesus thought that promised day would be a day when all that has gone wrong is made right, redeemed. And he gave his life for that elusive day. And while Jesus proclaimed that day is near, it is still not yet here. Yet it has been my experience that from time to time we get a glimpse of it. From time to time, a bit of that promise breaks into the present. It happens here at Forth from time to time. The love of God shows up among you in such palpable ways that the boldest promises of Jesus seem to be drawing nearer, and it is impossible not to live toward them. It was last summer. We arrived to worship and discovered that our Black Lives Matter signage out on Michigan Avenue had been defaced. And it was about that time we also learned that our Pride banner out on Michigan Avenue had been stolen. Maybe someone took the banner, not because the objective, but because they thought it was cool and wanted to have it. This was discouraging, but I have to say, I also saw it this way: someone can steal our banner and they can deface our sign, but they can't change the fact that people of color and people of the LGBTQIA community belong here, are welcomed here, are family here. Such commitments do not demonstrate the fullness of God's promised day. But it seems to me it's a glimpse. It was about a month ago, I was walking down by the lake trying to convince myself this was spring. And someone called my name, Pastor Tom. It was my friend Charles. He asked, "Pastor Tom, is there lunch at church today?" And I said, "No, Charles, not today. It's Saturday, but come tomorrow for Sunday night supper." He said, "Oh, I'll be there." I never miss that. I love Sunday night supper. You can't be a church without a table. Not just one like this beautiful one here in the chancel, but actually, anytime people are gathered around the table, there's a little bit of church going on. Ask anyone who has been at the tables of Sunday night supper, and they will tell you there's more than just the breaking of bread and sharing of conversation. There is a glimpse of God's promised day, for surely the day is coming when all will be welcomed and there'll be enough to go around, and the grumbling noises of hungry bellies will be replaced with songs of table blessings. Sometimes the love of God shows up so clearly here. We cannot help but be inspired to live toward God's ultimate promises. There was another moment like that. We gathered here in this sanctuary to claim the promise of the resurrection. We do that all the time here. We gathered to hear, "I am the resurrection and the life." And here one more time, "I go and prepare a place for you, and when I do, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." But this time, we gathered to claim that promise for John Buchanan. And I am sure many of you came that day carrying with you in the pockets of your hearts your own memories of John saying those words to you in a season of grief, in a moment when you needed to trust them more than any other time, your memories of John standing in this pulpit and proclaiming resurrection for one that you love. But this time we gathered to claim that promise for him and to celebrate that he is united with his Lord and reunited with his beloved Sue. And on that day, I looked out at you, and you looked like a meeting of the General Assembly. For this congregation was peppered with pastors from everywhere. Many of them had been served you as associates, and having learned how to be church from you, are now off in far-flung places leading congregations of their own, and others have just seen your light in the city, admired your commitments, and had to be here on this day. And it wasn't the fullness of God's promised day, but for me, it was a glimpse as the church near and far gathered to claim that the boldest promises of God can be trusted. I've only been with you for 20 months, but I've learned that God has a practice of showing up among you from time to time and giving you a glimpse of that promised day. It happened in Gratz, room 5A. For a year, the pastor nominating committee had been meeting and discussing, sometimes arguing, I'm told, and always praying. They were called to acquaint themselves with the leadership of the Presbyterian Church USA and to find the person that God was preparing and calling to be your next senior pastor. They honored the process. They respected each other. But still, if you listen carefully, it almost caught them by surprise. the moment they realized that to a person, they were convinced that God was leading them to Reverend Dr. Camille Cook Howe. As one person said to me, you could feel the Spirit of God moving in that room like it was Pentecost. And it seemed to me that way again on the 18th, a few weeks ago, when they shared their joy at having been led to your next pastor, and you exploded in applause twice. I know it wasn't the fullness of God's promised day, but it was a glimpse. God has a practice of stopping by here from time to time and drawing us closer. My friend Kathy said, Tom, for goodness sakes, why do you have a broken clock on your shelf? It always says it's 6:59. I said, Kathy, because it's always 6:59. She said, I don't understand. When I was a kid, the rule in our house is that Christmas morning did not start until 7 o'clock a.m. My father was a pastor. He spent Christmas Eve down at the church. He stumbled home after the last service was over, entered the land of some assembly required, and finally crawled into bed in the wee hours. Hence the rule, you do not wake the parents before 7 o'clock. If you do, Santa's taking everything back. So we didn't wake them. But my siblings and I, we would watch the clock on my mother's bedside table from the hallway, starting about 5:30. It was an old clock like this one. Do you remember? You can't really see it, but do you remember these clocks? It's sort of a John the Baptist forerunner to the digital clock. It's just numbers that fall down on a spool, and we would sit in the hall and watch the numbers fall down, and when it got to 6:59, the clock would break. Every year, 6:59 is the longest minute in the history of minutes. It's like the leap year of minutes. We would wait, and we would wait, and we would wait, and we would wait, and finally the double zeros would fall, and we would, before they fully came to rest, we were on our parents' bed. It's Christmas, it's Christmas, it's Christmas. Aren't you excited? I look back on that moment as one of the best moments of my childhood, because in that moment, I really didn't know what was going to happen next. I didn't know what was waiting in the other room. But I knew enough about Christmas that I knew it was going to be good. Why am I telling you this? Because I need you to remember what time it is. It's 6:59. I say that because I don't know what God is going to do among you in the years and decades to come. I don't know the specifics of your ministry and how you will reflect the light of Christ to this city and beyond, but I know enough about God, and I now know enough about you that I know it will be good. Your own history testifies that God has a practice of showing up here from time to time, granting a glimpse of that promised day. From time to time, the love of God can be so palpable among you, it makes you feel like that promised day is drawing a bit closer, and we cannot help but live toward it. I told you this next bit in my very first sermon for you, which I guess means it's good that I'm retiring because I'm now starting over. And I told you it was 1987 on a bright September day, Chief Justice Warren Burger spoke honoring the bicentennial of the drafting of the U.S. Constitution. Burger said, If we keep faith with the vision of the founders, we will have done our part to see that this new idea of government by the people remains in place. Berger believed our calling was to stay true to a vision 200 years old. Associate Justice Thurgood Marshall offered an alternative voice. Marshall had argued Brown v. Board of Education before the court in 54, and in 67 was the first African-American appointed to sit on the highest court in the land. Marshall warned, "The focus of this bicentennial celebration invites a complacent belief that the vision of those in Philadelphia have already yielded the more perfect union it is said we now enjoy." Marshall added, "The government the framers devised was defective from the start, requiring amendments, a civil war, a momentous social transformation to better realize the promise of a more just society. Credit for the Constitution," Marshall said, "in its present meanings belongs not to the framers, but to those who refused to acquiesce to outdated notions of liberty, justice, and equality, and who strive to better them." Marshall believed in America, but only because he trusted America was still becoming. He believed in an America he had yet to see, or perhaps only in glimpses, but he trusted she was out there and was worth living toward. Some of you found yourselves moved to protest this week because, like Marshall, you have a hope for a better tomorrow. Jesus said the kingdom of God is drawn near. He gave his whole life living toward that elusive day. And I've seen you do that too. I don't know what God is going to do among you in the years and decades to come, but I know enough about God, and I now know enough about you that I know this for certain. It's 6:59. Do not be discouraged. The values you hold, the commitments you cherish, the practices you embody stand in tension with so much of culture these days, which means what you do has never mattered more. Your ministry is vital, and I trust this: God will continue to show up here because the days ahead of us matter as much to her as the days that have gone by. So do not be discouraged. Remember Amos, who promised the day will come when justice will roll down like waters. Remember Isaiah, who promised the day will come when swords are beaten into plowshares. Remember old John of Patmos, who promised God will wipe every tear from our eyes. For it is not we who die, but death that dies. I have learned God's practice to show up here from time to time, and I have learned your commitment to do the good that is yours to do. So I don't need to know the specifics of what tomorrow will bring, but I know it will be good. Fourth Church, keep living toward that promised day, because it's 6:59. It's always 6:59. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.